Mostly with Jordan Scarlett last year, pretty even stats. Will he be more of a bell cow this year, or do you see the top two backs splitting carries like that?
Well, I love to be able to rotate guys through because I think for a couple of reasons. One, you know, health being a huge part of it. Keeps guys healthy and fresher throughout the course of the season. Continues to allow young guys to grow and develop, as you're ready. And it builds the team part of it all. You know, you look at last year, you had Jordan Scarlett and P. Ryan, and after Malik Davis got hurt early in the season, when Damian Pierce came in, but all those guys, I mean, they what they were worried about was how hard they went and how hard they could go on every single play, and they didn't worry about, you know, am I getting enough carries, too many carries, any of this, just when I'm in the game, go work to be my best, and that really shows unselfishness as players, really shows maturity as players, and understand it, and then I think once they go through it, I think it really gives them an understanding to say, hey, this is beneficial for me to do it this way. So I think that's a help, but, we're not going to be afraid to get them the ball. I know that much.
To your right, second row.
Thinking back to the South Carolina game, did you ever notice a dip in Felipe's confidence level coming off a couple of losses? And if so, how was he able to flip that so quickly, lead that comeback, and then basically roll through the rest of the year at a pretty high level?
I think one of the ones, you know, with him was learning how to block out all the outside noise and not worried about what's not important. I sound like an arrogant or demeaning statement to people, but, you know, if whoever was tweeting at you on Twitter was a more qualified quarterback coach than me or Brian Johnson, they would be our quarterback coach. I don't know why their opinion would even matter. So I think once you're able to kind of block out the outside noise and just really start focusing on what's important, look at your skill set, look at what you're able to do, and go do those things at a high level, you're going to be successful. And I think one of the things he was able to do was start to block those things out and realize that we had confidence in him and that he's pretty good, you know, he's okay, and to worry about doing things well. And when he started to do that, he really took off and I think finished the season really strong and had a great spring as well.
To your left, front row.
Is getting off to faster starts an emphasis this offseason? The first quarter scoring wasn't necessarily too good last year.
We'll see. I mean, mine is more winning, right? Whatever it takes for us to win. And that's always going to change. You know, you're going to win differently with
you know, one of the big things you always got to study at is what your team is and understand your team and know your team better. I think one, there's a learning curve for us last year of, you know, new coaching staff and players understanding what the coaching staff was and what our expectations, as well as the curve of the coaching staff learning the players and their strengths and their skills and what they did, what they could and couldn't do. I think hopefully, obviously, you know, we know a lot more, even though every team's an independent deal, and learning about this year's team will learn, and hopefully the learning curve's a lot faster as we continue to grow, and as coaches, we're all to put our guys in position to be successful and do what it takes to win. You know, I love winning. You know, we win it, you know, 49-48 and winning 3-0, I'm good either way. You know, if you're a defensive coach, you probably enjoy winning 3-0.
To your right.
Coach, you combine the passion of the Florida fans and the expectations with your history of working with quarterbacks and how they seem to develop and get better and better year for year. Combine those two for 2019 and, you know, think people are thinking big things. How do you deal with that? How do you gauge that?
I have unbelievably high expectations. You know, I have unbelievably high expectations for our team and the program and all of our players. And I don't know if there's anybody that has higher expectations than I do. So I have no problem embracing the expectations. And hopefully exceed the expectations. I think we exceeded expectations last year, and hopefully we do the same again this year. That's kind of what it is. I don't shy away from those things. You know, but you got to learn, and there's different types of adversities. You're going to learn to deal with adversity of success, and you're going to have to learn to deal with adversity of failures. And it's learning how to deal with both of those, you know, and both of them are bring their own challenges and adversities that come with them. And our job is to kind of manage the team through both of those.
To your left.
Dan, can you just talk about some of the emotions coming into the season? You have a year under your belt. Of course, you've been at Florida before, but to have a year under your belt now and to see how this fan base has embraced you and to see what it means to be a Gator day in and day out, just kind of talk about some of the emotions involved with that.
Well, I think it's great. You know, I love being the head coach of the University of Florida. The Gator Nation, I mean, the passionate fan base, the excitement, you know, that they have. You know, I love you saw at times last year, you know, with the stadium packing up and the energy and creating that unbelievable home field advantage that you have in the Swamp. I think that's all so important and so critical. And, you know, I understand I've been there before. You know, I've seen it at the highs, you know, and then we weren't all highs in my time there before, and understanding how to get through it. But I think it's a really exciting time. I think our fans are hungry to get back to go compete for championships, and you know, they're a passionate fan base. They love winning, and it's. But I am too. I'm very passionate. I love to win. I love to compete, and so so I love being the head coach of the Gators.
Front row right here.
Yeah, what are you expecting for Felipe in year two with you and his development, and what are your expectations for him this season?
Well, hopefully, you know, I mean, one, he understands his skill set better and how to utilize his skills within the offense, and he understands the offensive system as a whole better to go make plays within that system. And, you know, and to me, in quarterback development is making the less spectacular play, you know. A lot of times spectacular plays happen when guys don't know what they're doing, which is kind of crazy, right? I mean, because they don't really know what they're doing, so they run around and they throw the ball 75 yards in the air and something special happens and everybody thinks that's a great play. I guess it can be good. You know, the play might not be designed to do that. The might play have been designed, boy, if you could just hang in there and be smart enough to get to your fifth progression, you check it down, we gain 8 yards, that's pretty good. Because with the spectacular, I could also run around, scramble around, and get sacked for a 20-yard loss or throw an interception. And when the good play, again, would have been to get to your fifth progression in the read, check it down in the back and get 8 yards and go play second down and two. I think that aspect of it, that's what you want to see, is him really growing and understanding the game of football and understanding it within what we want him to do within the offense.
To your left, second row.
Hey, Coach, Bruce Marshall, Sports Byline. Back to the bowl game. We thought you had a chance in that game. Didn't expect 41-15.
Thanks for your confidence.
I said 21-15, I was thinking maybe. That was pretty good. In the offseason, how much difference did that make? And also, since I've come close and never hit a hole-in-one, I'd like to hear about your hole-in-one.
All right, thanks. My first hole-in-one question today. I appreciate it. I'm going to address the hole-in-one first. It was about, you know what, I was sitting up there, I was on the green, and it was a back right pin placement, all water along the right side on the lake. So got to play it left, and it should come down to the green. It's about 173 we shot it at. 7-iron, it's about, and I hit it flush. You know, I just crush it. Caught about 6 feet above left away from the pin and just, you know, kind of like hit a little one bounce, little roll down towards, you know, played the grain. Got to see it drop in. And my son and I came running out of the cart, chest bumped each other. It was like crazy. Like we rode down, videoed it to see the ball in the hole. It was a lot of fun. And pretty cool. Now that's check. That's done. So, like, you know, if you play a lot of golf, too, you hit that shot, and every time you're on a par three, like, you hit the shot, and you're like, oh, this could be the one. This could be the one. Since I've gotten, I've worried a lot less about it, and I've noticed I'm starting to get, like, a lot closer and playing par threes much better because I'm not worried about it anymore. But bowl game. Football now. No, I think winning obviously winning the bowl game always helps in the offseason. I think it leaves a bit of excitement, leaves a bit of unfinished business of what maybe could have even been better during the course of last season and that you want to build on? Obviously, I've been a part of two national championship teams where it's not really what the, you know, there wasn't much more you could have done. You win that bowl game. I think we finished ranked sixth last year in the final coach poll. So I think the team looks back and says, boy, what if we could have done this a little bit better or this a little bit better? Well, we got to be, you know, I think it motivates you, that motivation and that excitement to get ready to be back out there on the field. So I thought that was huge for us. I don't know if the score made as much a difference. The score is great. I mean, Michigan's one of the best defenses in the country, and for us to come out and play great in two of the three phases, we had two punts blocked. I don't think we had a great special teams day. We were solid, but not great, you know, in the other phases. Would come out offensively and defensively, play at a high level. I think it can lead to a lot of confidence going into the offseason and a hunger of, boy, you know, we maybe didn't play our best. We weren't as good as we could be, and we finished sixth. What if we could be as good as we could be this year? What could happen? And I think that's a great motivating factor.
To your right, third row.
Coach, if you will, talk about East rival Tennessee and a staff with a similar situation as yours going into year number two.
Well, you know what? That's always been when I was at Florida, my first stint there as the offensive coordinator, it was always such a big rivalry game because it was game one. It was always your first SEC game. You know, and it kind of always led to, you know, I mean, you win, you're two games ahead of the other team. And so it's always such a big game, and it's a fun game to be a part of. Great rivalry game, you know. And it is. They're going into year two. You know, now their players, just like ours, knew what to expect going into the offseason, can make some big strides, understand the offense, defensive, and really the personality of what you head coach wants the program to be like. And it'll be fun. My first SEC game I ever coached as an assistant coach was against Tennessee in the Swamp, and they got to come down to the Swamp this year. So, I mean, it was a wild night, and it was great. We got a big win that night. But so it'll be fun to have that game played at home this year.
On your left here, front row.
Coach, I want to ask you about one of your former players and Jeffrey Simmons that you coached at Mississippi State. The Titans took him in the first round. When did you know that there was something special about him that could, you know, help him make it in the SEC, but also the next level?
Well, you know, I mean, I started recruiting him when he was, I think, a freshman in high school. You know, and you look at him, and you could tell here was this guy, you know, that had a lot of physical tools about him. But when you find and you dig deeper and you see the work ethic that he has, you know, and you see, you know, the type of personality he has. And, you know, you look at his academic background, you know, there's a lot of those guys out there. Sometimes I always think there's a lot of people sometimes in the world that look and you say, okay, that person maybe could have an excuse of why they didn't make it in life. You know, maybe they weren't handed the greatest deck or the greatest cards, you know, in the deck. And Jeffrey is a guy, though, that none of that mattered to him. He's such a worker, you know. And God bless him with some great physical attributes and talents. But, you know, he didn't take those for granted. He's a guy that you're not going to find a guy that works harder, that worked harder in the classroom, worked harder in the offseason and training on the field than he is. And I know going through an injury right now, but I don't think you're going to find a guy that's going to work harder to get back from that injury. So, you know, I think he's going to have a great career at the next level just because of his mindset, because of his attitude, and because of how he maximizes every bit of talent he has.
We have time for two questions. The first over against the wall to your right.
When you look across the league, how do you evaluate the level of quarterback play in the SEC this year?
I'm pretty good, you know. I think one of the great challenges that come in the SEC is the talent you go against defensively. You know, and probably, you know, I mean, it is. I mean, if you look at the NFL draft, it's the closest thing they're going to get to playing in the NFL. The experience you're going to get to play a quarterback in the SEC is going to translate extremely well to the next level, you know. And I think if you look at a lot of the quarterbacks that have had played in this league that went on to the next level and had a great deal of success, it's the experience they get from playing against the defenses they have to see week in and week out playing in this conference. So statistically, you know, there's probably other leagues out there that are going to put up big numbers, and but they're not playing against the quality of defensive players that they have in this league.
Last question, Coach, to your left third row.
Coach, I wanted to ask you about one of your incoming freshmen, Jaden Hill. He tore his ACL his senior season of high school, only played a few games. But you guys stuck with him recruiting-wise. I wanted to ask why you continue to stick with him, and what are your expectations for him over his career?
Well, I think, you know, he's worked really hard. He's cleared. He's back. He's ready to go. He's worked hard at that. You know what? To me, he's a guy that we were recruiting. He committed to us, and that's something that I take pretty seriously. You know, I don't look at our guys and say, hey, you know, you're committed. If you make a commitment to come play for me, that means you're committed as long as you're okay and a great football player. It means you're, you know, it's when I sit there with parents and families and they commit to you, you know, they're committing that they're trusting their son's future with in your hands, and that's a commitment that goes beyond football. It's a commitment about every aspect of their life that we're committed to in developing our players. So that was pretty easy to stick with it for him. And, you know, he's a guy that, you know, despite having to deal with an injury, has worked his tail off, done things right, had a good semester in the classroom, has worked hard at rehabbing and worked hard to get himself ready to go on the field, and has bought into our program and understands that. But and hopefully, you know, that also translates for him to understand what commitment means in his life. You know, when if he's committed to be a TV broadcaster or a radio host or an NFL player or start his own company or be an educator or go into politics, whatever it is, that he's going to be committed to that and understands how what that commitment can mean to your success if you buy into it long term.
Thank you, Coach. We appreciate your time.
Thank you.